When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hey there, Jillian. Hey there, people in your cars and on your radios. Radios.
Yeah, on your radios.
What are you talking about?
Your podcast machines.
What are you talking about?
Woo-hoo. Oh, my God. Okay.
So I think we're going to do a little So Jillian today.
Where do you get these accents from?
I don't know. I've
amazing.
Always done it. It's just, shit. I don't know.
All right, girl. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Okay. Well, with Halloween coming.
Okay. Oh, God.
What was your best childhood Halloween costume?
Oh, God. How about this? Like, oh, God, this is so sad. I don't even remember. And in fact, the only reason I remember one of them are photos, and I was a punk rocker.
How old were you?
My parents were still married, so I had to be like 8.
Aw, you need to find those photos.
I have them somewhere.
I think Instagram's going to want to see those photos.
A little punker.
A little punk Jillian.
Like I put like that spray shit in my hair, like I don't even remember. Like a punk rocker. Yeah.
Okay.
It's terrible.
Who would your dream dinner party guest be? They can be dead.
They can be dead?
Yeah.
Okay. Einstein, for sure. 100%. What?
Einstein out of everyone in the world?
Fuck yeah. He's my...
He knows stuff.
I feel like he'd just be like way over my head.
No, he's amazing. Oh my gosh. I would say Hawking, but it would be impossible to talk to him.
No, he could communicate.
I feel like it would take forever, though.
Young Hawking.
I have so many questions. Yeah.
Well, that would actually, Young Hawking would be fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah, because I have so many questions.
Because he was so young.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. Some like amazing, I would have to be like female, but not a martyr. Not into the martyr things. Like no Joan of Arc. Maybe Cleopatra. Because she wasn't a martyr.
Ooh, yeah.
Bitch got shit done. You know what I mean? She never martyred herself. And, like, she refused to be taken slave and humiliated and, like, used as a pawn. And, like, what a badass bitch.
Yeah.
Although I've heard Nefertiti is also pretty fucking dope.
She can come, too.
Yeah. No, okay. How many guests do I get? We'll be here
all
day.
Hey, it's your table.
Okay, well, so I'll get, let me think of two more guests. God, this is so tough, Cindy.
It can be a small, intimate dinner party.
A musical genius. Yeah, like music to me is like, I am such a firm believer in string theory, which is like everything in the universe essentially comes down to these tiny vibrating strings. And the way that the string vibrates essentially dictates what it becomes, how it manifests, which is me butchering the fuck out of string theory. I have no idea. But I know the concept. And I think Pythagoras also was like, everything in the universe is music. Like, to me, I'm like, oh my God, this is the language. Math and music.
Mm.
are the kind of these universal languages. And so some sort of insane, crazy musical genius, maybe Mozart, because to see Mozart and Einstein at a table would be, or Hawking would be like, whoa, because he was banana.
That'd be pretty cool.
Didn't Mozart like write his first stuff when he was like five or four or something?
Yeah. But I did listen to this thing on Outliers, which was that Malcolm Gladwell book. And he had theories on that. Like the adults are there helping and whatever, but he is a genius. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a genius.
Like an anomaly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gandhi.
Oh, yeah.
Because Gandhi was, or MLK.
They can both come. You're not limited.
Yeah. MLK, Malcolm X, Gandhi, one of the three. Because like they weren't martyrs. They got shit done.
Yeah.
Although I guess they were both martyrs because they were killed, but like it wasn't their intention to die. Yeah. They weren't like, let me get up on the cross and like ruin my life for you. That wasn't, you know what I mean? Like they believed in what they were doing. They were doing it for themselves as well as everybody else. It wasn't like, let me martyr myself and be a victim of the situation.
There's the theme to this dinner party of getting stuff done.
Yeah, get shit done. Yeah, unravel the mysteries of the universe, improve humanity. Yeah.
Okay. What is the biggest misconception about you?
Ugh, it's so typical. I'm a bitch, I guess. Everyone, I'm such a bitch. It's like, really? Like, it just, I don't know.
She is definitely not a bitch, people.
That one, I guess.
That's like, definitely
I,
it.
I can attest to that.
Yeah. All my friends that, like, you know, Is she as scary and as mean as I'm like, no.
Yeah, that's
crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, I just
now the cap was on. We're all okay. All the machines are
fine. Right?
I can't imagine what your answer is going to be to this one, but what is your most overused word?
Fuck. I love it so much. It's so awesome. It works for everything.
I love it so much.
It's just it's like, fuck this, fuck that, fuck you, fuck me. Fuck it.
This is going to be so fun to bleep out.
It's just so good. It's like, oh, fuck. And it's like, it is such a good like stress reliever.
Yeah, I agree.
But I don't say like, fuck head. I never say that. I don't call people names unless I'm in the car and someone's driving like an idiot. Then my kids are like, they're like, mom, you're like, which is the crazy one? Is it like Mr. Hyde is the crazy one?
I think so.
Yeah. I'm in the car in LA traffic and Mr. Hyde comes out. And they're like, oh, fuck. Here comes Mr. Hyde again. And I'm like, Jesus, go. What the fuck, man? Oh, my God. See the speed limit. 45. Here's you. 42. Fucking drive, drive, drive. Like, I'm like a psycho in the
car.
That
used to be my grandfather. Look at this guy. Look at it. Look what he's doing.
Yeah. Looking out the window. And we live on Pacific Coast Highway. So it makes me insane because they kind of like. They drive like 32.
Looking at the ocean. The
speed limit's
the house.
45. Yeah. And I'm like, some of us live here. I've got to get the kids to school. I've got it. Like, it just it drives me nuts.
What superpower would you want to have?
Funny. I had had this. Yeah.
This has come up recently. I see.
Yeah. Jesus. What would I want to have? Time travel. 100%. I could see every place ever. And you could visit it multiple times because it's like Rome in, you know, 200 BC, Rome in the Renaissance, Rome now. Like, I mean, I think that would just be so cool.
That'd be cool.
Time travel. And then you'd have all your questions answered. Like, who killed Jimmy Hoffa? You just go back and see it. Who killed JFK? It's like rewind.
Yeah.
I just think that'd be so. I would go to like Roswell. What the fuck was that?
Oh,
was that a weather balloon?
Definitely go to Roswell.
Yeah. Like I'd just be sitting there in the desert, like, all righty, any second now. Like, I mean, that'd probably be my first stop. Yeah. I think that'd be so cool, time travel.
All right. What superpower do you have?
I can burp any baby. It is a gift.
You can burp any baby. Okay.
Yeah. No, I mean, seriously, like I was like the burp master.
Wow.
Especially with wiener dogs. Like, I could burp that little f***er. See how good this word is. Yeah. Like, I literally could, like, from a million angles, too, I had all the techniques. Like, over the forearm, bang, bang, bang. Over the shoulder, pop, pop, pop. On the chest, like, yeah, hang him by his toes. Like, it's a gift. It really is. Don't underestimate it. Have a colicky baby. Call me.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
What is your latest guilty pleasure?
This is actually really interesting. This is dark. Probably like a different, totally different segment. You know what though? Like, having been through so much recently, like so much pain recently, for the first time in my life, I understand why. I understand the nature of addiction, why people get addicted to things, because it's like you're just in so much pain, you want it to stop. So like I would always say a glass of wine. I actually stopped like having, I was like, okay. You know what I mean? Unless it was like my brother's birthday or whatever, but I was like, dude, I mean, like that would, like, I can see how people totally off subject, but it would used to be that, like it was a guilty pleasure. And then when I was like, dude, I need to have a drink. I was like, whoa, no, 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 no. And I had to like stop it. But I could see for the first time in my life how somebody who's in so much pain would be like, oh, I need to take something to sleep. Because I'll wake up at 3 a.m. and be like, fuck, here we go.
You need to know it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like you just want it to quiet. Shh. Like, yeah. I get how all these kids, like these millennial kids, get on these like Z bars, Xanax and everything, because it's like the anxiety is so intense and overwhelming and they're not given a proper outlet. So it's like it's intense, but it like normally would be like a glass of wine.
Yeah.
Dude.
No, I mean, I always find when things are particularly rough, no alcohol. I don't want it. It doesn't sit well in my brain.
Interesting.
It goes. Yeah. It's not. Yeah. I don't know why. It's always
same.
Oh yeah. God.
It's like, woof. No thanks.
Oh God. See, because it was like when I started pouring like Greg and I a whiskey for dinner, I was like, and we're done here. Like, no, 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 no.
Now then
no,
you
no,
get
no.
into that sort of like over romanticized.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. I was like, we're done with this. This has got to stop. And I have zero alcoholism and no tendencies.
No, and I've never seen.
No, but for the first time in my life, but I got it.
Yeah,
and I was
yeah.
like, "Whoa, this is heavy." Like, because you just like the pain. You just want it to stop.
Mm.
It's intense. So normally I would say that.
Okay. This one you can't make into a heavy one. What's your favorite emoji?
Oh, I like that little grimacing guy. You know where he's got like, he shows his teeth. Yeah. And he's got the little oval for a mouth.
Jake's
he's like
doing it.
It's like slightly nerve wracked, you know, like kind of waiting in anticipation for your answer.
Right. He could be excited. He could be scared.
Yeah. He's a little of both. Yeah. It could potentially work out. It could not. He's like, here's my answer. And then he just waits with like, how's this going to go? Yeah. Like that little guy is the guy.
Isn't that funny how we all like there's one that we use. Like Jake, what do you use most?
I really like, well, I probably use like the heart eyes a lot, but I love the little guy with his finger going, shh. He's like so suspect.
He's like shady.
His chin is up.
Yeah, he is dodgy little bastard.
He's so weird.
I also like the chick with the hand on the forehead.
Oh my God.
Like, that is the story of my life.
I love
literally,
that one.
Like, everything is like, oh my God. Like, it just, yeah.
It's How about least favorite?
Good question. The like cringy guy. I never use him. Where he's like, ugh. I never use that guy.
You mean the zombie?
No, he like kind of has his eyes like squinched. And he's like, ugh, like cringy.
Like he's like waiting.
Oh, yeah. Like he's like the sick one, but not. He's not throwing up.
Maybe. Yeah, his eyes are like little like lesser or greater signs pointing towards the nose is lesser. You know, he's got like wrinkly. He needs Botox. He's wrinkly. Poor little guy. I hate that guy. He gives me anxiety. All right, I know you guys have heard me talk about my, we'll say, lack of talent in the kitchen, but now I think I'm pretty good, actually, because of Sunbasket. They make it so easy. I always tell you how to make healthy choices when it comes to your food. You want to eat right. You want the food to taste good, even if you're not much of a cook. So what do you do? Well, for me, Sunbasket has been the answer.
There's nothing like having fresh organic produce and responsibly raised meats and seafood delivered right to my door. No more grocery stores. It's so easy, and each meal is ready to make in as little as 15 minutes. Sunbasket has me pretty impressed with myself in the kitchen these days, I have to say. I get to pick from 18 weekly recipes and all kinds of menu options, and they go from paleo to vegan. The Mediterranean lemon chicken with artichoke ragu was so easy to make, all in one pan, so it minimizes cleanup. So go to sunbasket.com/Jillian today to learn more and get $35 off your first order. That's sunbasket.com/Jillian for $35 off your order today. sunbasket.com/Jillian. When I work out, I sweat. I mean, let's face it. Even when I'm not working out, I sweat. And I only use natural deodorant. So I was really excited that Kopari's coconut deodorant is aluminum-free. Kopari's even running a campaign called The Truth Stinks about aluminum and all the reasons you do not want it in your deodorant. Another thing I love is that instead of plugging up your sweat glands, Kopari's deodorant takes care of your stinky sweat without messing up your body's natural patterns and without leaving behind a sticky white residue. Just the great, subtle scent of fresh coconut milk. And reordering is easy with a deodorant subscription, so just choose how often you want to receive it, and they ship it to you automatically for free, so you never run out of deodorant again. Just go to KopariBeauty.com/Jillian to make the safe switch today and save $5 off your first order when you subscribe. That's KopariBeauty.com/Jillian, KopariBeauty.com/Jillian. All right. I get a lot of questions about appetite. People are like, I'm hungry all the time. There could be several reasons for that. And I thought we should go over a few of them. Hunger, for the most part, other than it being an emotional state of like boredom or deprivation or control, is dictated by hormones, right? There are hormones that tell you, I am hungry, ghrelin being one, and hormones that tell you, you are satiated, leptin being one. So what kind of things are going to trigger these hormones that are going to make you feel more full or hungrier? So without digging too deep into the psychology, because that is a totally different beast, that's how people become leptin resistant, is ignoring the feeling of being physically full from that hormone and then eating because of emotional reasons, right? So sugar, that's what a sugar crash is. When we eat too many refined grains or sugars, especially solo, like a candy bar on its own or what have you, or soda, all that sugar goes into the bloodstream. The pancreas does its job and dumps a bunch of insulin, and then it wipes out the sugar in your bloodstream, and you now have low blood sugar. So it begets this vicious cycle of overeating. So you want to be really careful with those really high glycemic processed grains and sugars. Juices as well, like anything that hits your bloodstream like a freight train when it comes to blood sugar is going to make you hungrier. So that one is just obvious. Here's another one you may not have thought about. Foods, if you eat a lot of foods from cans, studies are now showing us that we've often talked about bisphenol A or how bad it is, BPA, how it's on the inside of cans and keep food in. Now they're showing us that it has an impact on leptin levels of leptin and ghrelin. And it can cause spikes in your hunger hormone if you have too much BPA in your system or you store your food in plastic. Yeah. So that's a buildup of over time. But just, I read that one recently and I've already always known to avoid that one. But nevertheless, yeah, right?
Like, another reason.
Dude, another thing that'll mess with those hormones is skipping meals. So when we skip meals, studies show that we eat 25% more, up to 25% more because we're overly hungry. Mm. So we're releasing, our blood sugar drops and we're releasing hormones that are like eat, eat, eat. And we eat fast and we eat too much and we eat more than we should. It's like, so do not skip meals. Intermittent fasting of an overnight break, that's one thing. But skipping breakfast and not eating until 1, that is no good. Or eating at 1 but not eating until 8. By the time you hit 8, you're going to just chow everything on the table. So in your waking hours, every 3 to 4 hours, which creates, if you're having breakfast at 8, 12, 4, 8, right? That's every 4 hours, and you still get a 12-hour fast. If you're doing every 3, then it would be, you know, let's say 9, 12, 3, 6, And then you're getting, what's the period on that? A longer fast period of mm-hmm. like 24 months, 15 hour fast, mm-hmm. something like that. Or every 3.5 hours, which breaks down. That's my kind of number right there, is like eating every 3.5 hours and trying to get a 12 to 13 hour fast period. But don't skip meals, because that will, in fact, make you hungrier without a doubt. Not enough fiber. Because what fiber does is it literally stretches your stomach, fills you up, and then it triggers your body to release more leptin. Fiber makes you feel more full. So load up on the veggies. They're full of phytonutrients. They're full of water content, which is the next one we're going to get to. And the fiber makes you feel more full and literally fills you up, so you eat less. Okay, hydration. Studies show us that when we're dehydrated, we often mistake that feeling for like, oh, so like, ooh, like, as Van Hurley says, like a wilted flower. Drink water. It helps give you more energy. And this is interesting. The hypothalamus, the part of the brain that regulates hunger and thirst, can send mixed messages regarding thirst and hunger. So you might take a snack instead of a glass of water. You can mistake dehydration as hunger. So alcohol, another big one. And it triggers, here's one. So not only does it lower your inhibition and your ability to make good decisions, but this was interesting. In a 2017 study, researchers fed mice alcohol and found it triggered specific brain neurons that cause a desire to eat.
Wow.
Right? It physically makes you want to go eat.
I would figured it was because I was making bad decisions. Like, who cares? I'm not hungry, but that looks good. I'm going to eat it. You know.
Well, it definitely would make you go to the fast food place or the Denny's for the Grand Slam instead of the like organic kale salad. Yeah.
Especially at 2 a.m. when the clubs close. Yeah. And you're like, hey, what's open?
Exactly. That's right.
But it actually makes you
hungry. Triggers hungry. Neurons in your brain that tell you to eat.
Wow.
It's nuts, right?
Yeah, totally.
And the last two, and you probably know these, sleep. Mm-hmm. So when we don't sleep, it triggers our hunger hormones. And when we do sleep, it triggers us our satiety hormones. It releases more hormone. Chill. Man. Oh, my God. I didn't get much sleep last night, actually. So it triggers your body to release more leptin. And when we don't sleep, it releases more ghrelin, the hunger hormone, and stress. Stress is a big one. And we know that it releases cortisol, which can cause cravings for sugary and fatty foods. So when you're feeling stressed, like really like practice a daily meditation, focus on getting 7 to 8 hours of sleep, like really, really do as much as you can with your self-care. Get your workouts in as much as you can. Like something is better than nothing, even if it's just walking around the block. Like hang out with friends, like any ways you can mitigate stress will help with that.
Well, isn't that interesting? You know, comfort food,
where
that comes
from.
Everyone says, I need macaroni and cheese. It's my comfort food. I need mashed potatoes. It's comfort food. That makes total sense. Of course, that's what you'd be craving. Not because it was something you had when you were a kid.
No,
but because
God, I'd never need to go back to those feelings as a kid. Pasadena.
It's like, it's interesting because it's appetite's an interesting thing. I've definitely experienced the dehydration.
Yep.
I've definitely been like, why am I still hungry? Ooh, let me drink some water and see.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even remember. I move on to the next thing and I wasn't hungry. I was thirsty. I've definitely experienced that one. I've definitely experienced the alcohol thinking, oh, I think I need a snack now.
Snack too.
And then it's also a reason why they use lack of sleep as torture. because it's torturous.
Cindy just took this down a whole other road.
So what we're saying is you're not sleeping.
Oh my God.
Your brain's being tortured, Jillian.
The right hire can make a huge impact on your business. It's so important. But how do you find that right person? Well, it's really hard. I've been through this so many times. If you post on a job board, will the right candidate see it? Why not find the right person and grow your business with LinkedIn? It's the world's largest professional network. 70% of the US workforce is already there, and 9 out of 10 of those people
are open to new job opportunities, even though they haven't even checked out a job board recently. And that's why businesses rate LinkedIn 40% higher than job boards at delivering quality candidates. And a new hire is made every 10 seconds using LinkedIn. So go to linkedin.com/Jillian and get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/Jillian to get $50 off your first job post. Did you hear me? There's no way to lose here. Go now. LinkedIn.com/Jillian. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, who's tired of fasting or cleanses that just leave you hungry and exhausted instead of rejuvenated and energized? Well, Prolon is the scientifically proven meal plan solution you've been waiting for. Prolon is a revolutionary plant-based nutrition program that nourishes the body while making the cells believe they're fasting. Researched and developed for decades at the University of Southern California Longevity Institute and backed by leading U.S. medical centers, Prolon helps promote healthy blood sugar, support cardiovascular health, and reduce abdominal fat. But Prolon isn't a diet. Prolon is science. Science based on Nobel Prize-winning discoveries in medicine. And this all starts with Prolon's five-day program, snacks, soups, and beverages, all designed to keep your body in a fasting state. It's unlike anything you've ever experienced. I did it for 5 days because I've had the absolute hardest time with straight fasts for even 24 hours, and it was a game changer for me. So right now, Prolon is offering Keeping It Real Conversations with Jillian Michaels listeners 10% off their 5-day nutrition program. Just go to prolonlife.com/Jillian. That's prolonlife.com/Jillian for this special offer. That's prolonlife.com/Jillian.
All right, we're gonna tackle some emails here.
I am ready.
So Kat has been low carb slash keto for 8 months. And now she needs her gallbladder removed due to gallstones.
Shocker.
She wants to know, what kind of foods do you recommend for someone going from a low-carb, high-fat diet to a low-fat diet? She's afraid of gaining weight.
You won't. Okay. So first of all, it's what you're supposed to avoid, which are high-fat foods. This is what I'm trying to say. That's the thing with these kinds of diets is like, you may lose weight, but you're doing all kinds of damage to your body. You can lose weight. Yeah. It's very simple. Eat less, exercise. Done. And in fact, like, again, in my new book, like, we review all these different diets. And it is, at the end of the day, high fat diets are bad for your health. This is yet another perfect example. Like, there was another huge study that just came out that I read about on Big Think, where they were saying that it, like, decreased your lifespan, these kinds of diets, like a huge amount. I can't remember the exact number. It's just not good for you. Mm. So it's very simple. A plant-based diet with clean, healthy meat in moderation, as in not a McDonald's burger, not processed bacon, you know what I mean? Like, not like processed, heavy, fatty, gross, like fried, none of that. Like, meat in moderation, and, you know, get wild salmon if you can afford, like, eat less meat, by the way, and whole grains for the fiber. And you won't, carbs do not make you fat. They don't. Carbs don't make you fat. Calories make you fat, and processed grains, white flour, and processed sugar, yes, they will drive insulin levels up. They're bad for you, and they will promote fat storage. But at the end of the day, like, if you're eating that stuff and still not overeating, like, you'll have a higher body fat content, but you will not be gaining weight. It's not good for you. But that is not the truth. I just don't understand. I'm living proof that that's bullshit. Hmm. It's just bullshit. Bullshit. So if you're not overeating and you're moving your body, that's how you lose weight. You don't gain weight if you're not overeating. There's a great, hang on, TED Talk. The Mathematics of Weight Loss. I want all of you to Google this. Hmm. Okay. It's done by a physicist. It's so, wow. He just explains, like, basically how your body stores and burns fat. It's very simple biochemistry. Hmm. That's what pisses me off about when people are like, oh, the blood type diet, the keto diet, the this diet. And people then will then say to me, what's your take on this? I'm like, ask me what my take on 2 + 2 is. It's 4. Like, yeah. This is the, you can't, no, no. Like, no, 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 no. Weight loss is calories in, calories out. It just is, period. Health is a different conversation. And high fat, you know, that's absurd. And no, it doesn't make sense at all. It is a different conversation. Longevity is a different conversation. But this is seriously the mathematics of weight loss. Google that shit. Watch it. It's like, I don't even know how many minutes.
Watch
10
it,
minutes
people.
At the most. You'll love it. It's like, let me see how long this thing is. Oh, it's 21 minutes.
You have the time to watch
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I was going to say. Listen to it in the car.
We'll make the time. Anna from Denmark wants to know, how many calories should I get a day when I am a breastfeeding mom? She has a 5-month-old. She walks 2 to 4 miles a day, works out 3 to 4 times a week, 5'4", 154 pounds. How many calories?
5'4", 154 pounds. Okay, so she wants to lose some weight, right?
Well, yeah. I think it's because she's breastfeeding, though, is the...
It doesn't matter.
To her counting calories, she's started counting calories and she's just...
She should. She should. So if she's got some weight to lose, it's when you, the breastfeeding thing is great for like, oh, I need to lose the baby weight up until about 5 to 10 pounds pre-baby, because your body will, at some point, it will compromise milk supply because you don't have fat stores, right? So it's great to a point, and then it inhibits that last kind of bit of weight loss because they fight against each other. So at first it helps you burn through if you gained more than is ideal, right? Which is no judgment, but it happens a lot. Right. So if it happens, like I know people who put on 80 pounds in a pregnancy, right? So it's like, okay, it gets you back down to like that 10 pound number. And really it's 5 to 10, like you kind of 5 pounds or like, get through your breastfeeding period, then focus on it. But it sounds like if she's 5'4", like 154.
Yes.
She'd probably be better at like 130. So I would say 1600. But I have a whole thing in my book, Yeah Baby, about this, like figuring the numbers. But that's pretty straightforward. And then when she gets, like within, when she gets to about 130, then she should be at about 1,800 to 2,000 a day on the days she's exercising.
Okay, great. While we're on the baby subject, Kashia wants to know, since you've talked about IVF and fertility briefly in previous episodes, she has a couple of questions. She's, fertility treatments, are they worth the risk to keep trying or not?
Fuck.
She did not have good luck with them, and it was horrible to go through.
I mean, you can't ask me that. That's a personal question. Mm-hmm. What I can tell you is If you're a young woman, like, fantastic. Go through it once and freeze your eggs. You'll do it one time. You'll get great eggs. And by the way, freeze eggs and freeze embryos, because that's something else they don't tell you. My friend just went through that. Freeze embryos as well, because it turns out better, right? They're able to, like, the genetic, it just is a better thing to do. So embryos actually better than eggs. And when you're young, you do it once, right? Like, and you get great quality. Then you get into your 40s and it's like time one, time two, time three, time four, time five, time six, time seven, time I'm on round 9, and it's hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah,
it's
thousands. She said it was very expensive.
Yeah, it's thousands and thousands of dollars. Not only that, I mean, like, you tell me, does it seem like it's healthy? Yeah. I mean, does it seem like it's healthy to be doing that crazy shit with your hormones, like up, down, up, down, up, down? People gain weight, they have like depression, like all kinds of shit. It fucks with your state of mind, your body weight, I believe very strongly that it's linked to breast and ovarian cancer. I think the research is out there without a doubt. Like, but I can't tell you to walk away if you're very attached to having your own kid. Yeah. That's a decision you got to make. For me, I mean, both my kids are adopted to me. So you can't, it's just not something that matters to me.
Right.
I understand when it matters to other people, they want to have their own kid. I don't have that.
Yeah,
personally,
she was saying that their next plan would be to foster, to adopt.
It's more
cost effective.
Oh my god, you're giving a kid, like, are you kidding?
Yeah,
but like, I can't. This is a personal decision.
Yeah,
and also, if someone is not called to adopt, do not adopt.
Yeah, Oh, she said she's dreamed of doing that since she was a child. So to me, that seems like, well, then hello.
Hello. I mean, yeah. Like, if you, it is definitely a, for whatever it's worth, it's a calling. And I remember, it just is. It's, you called to do it. And it, what I think, it's not like some weird, like, oh, God and Jesus or whatever, Buddha. I think it's that on some level, there's some sort of connection where you just know that's part of your destiny.
Yeah.
And that little soul is like meant to, I mean, there are times like with Lou and Phoenix where, especially when I'm like putting them to bed and I'm like, yeah, this kid's like, if there's any truth to that whole soul mate, like work to do, like karma, like I'm her mom. It's not a question. And yeah. It just is. But you got to follow your gut when it comes to the kid stuff. Do I think it's good for you? Of course I don't. No, I don't. It's definitely not
IVF,
good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, fertility drugs
Yeah. Yeah.
This is sort of.
I thought you were done.
No, that was abrupt. I like this
right,
one.
Fine.
Yeah. Okay, bye.
I want to go fine.
No, Psychia, who was originally from India, wants to know what your three main tips are on how to build an exceptional life.
Oh, God, that's a book I wrote called Unlimited.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, that's, she must have read the book. I like boiled it down to kind of three things, but they're very in depth when you read the book. And the first one is about imagining, right? Which is essentially connecting with your passion and learning how to allow your feelings in and allow them to be your compass and guide you like away from what's bad and towards what's good, and allowing that passion and that authenticity to be your why and to drive you through the work and the sacrifice associated with the goal. And that's, you know, that's like step one, and it's a big step. There's a lot involved. Step two is believing in your ability to achieve the goal, which is where most people break down. And that's why things like, that's why these like self-help platitudes, like as much as I like Brené Brown, like someone asked me a while back, like, do you like Brené Brown? And sent me all this stuff on vulnerability. And I was like, I mean, sure. Like, yes, we should all be vulnerable and we should all believe in ourselves and we should all love ourselves more. And, but like, that's like, okay, but how do you get to Mecca? You know what I'm saying? She's not telling you how to get there. So, you know, in fact, the person that asked me about Brené Brown is the least vulnerable person I've ever met in my life. So it says exactly that. And so your ability to believe is built over time. And ultimately, it's got to, like in large part, it's positive influences, but it also has to come through these very small successes. But it's understanding why we don't believe and where the negative self-image came from and learning how to make sure it's not internalized. You know, this happened and that happened and my dad said this to me and I was always this kid, but it's not about you, it's about them, but you internalized it. Understanding where this limiting negative self-image comes from so that you can give it back, so to speak, and then gradually building up your belief in yourself through these small achievements, no matter how small. But you can't believe in a reality you haven't experienced. And then the third step becomes an action plan, right? You've got to bring action to your intentions. But if you bring misinformed action, you're bringing a wrecking ball to your life. So it's like, oh, I started a diet, but, you know, I had bad advice and I destroyed my metabolism, or I cut out a part of my stomach without understanding, you know, all the consequences, or I created nutritional deficiencies, or I messed up my bone density. I opened a business, but I didn't know enough about it. I ended up going out of business and declaring bankruptcy and screwing up my credit. So it isn't just about action. It's about informed, deliberate action. You don't just look before you leap. You don't just leap.
Yeah.
It's not just a leap of faith. It's looking and then leaping. So, you know, that very, like, how to educate yourself and how to take these small steps so that they do yield powerful and positive results. And then when they don't, you're mitigating the damage and you're learning from the failures.
so that you can reapproach more intelligently. Like, those really are the three steps, but it's, there's a lot. It's obviously, it's like a several hundred page book. So there's more to it, but yeah.
Go get the book.
Take it out of the library. It's free at the library.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay, guys, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you get it weekly. You don't even have to think about it on iTunes or Spotify or wherever else you're listening.